Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here again tonight. Teach us things that will be very, very helpful to us in the months to come, because it's in your name that we've prayed. Now, I want to speak to you tonight about your summer, how to use it wisely. You know, through the years, I've noticed something about university students. What happens in their lives during the summer months is very, very crucial to their spiritual growth. You know, summer, those glorious days that you're so anticipating, what will they hold for you? Every year I witness students who come to OU. Many come every year who've perhaps come to know Christ earlier, but we hear the testimony year by year of many who have never grown a great deal until they arrive on a college campus. And then after arriving on a college campus, someone invites them to go to Sunday school, church. Maybe it's invites them to be in a dorm Bible study. Maybe come to Vespers. It may be for you it was a freshman ministry team. Might have been a discipleship team. But very likely it was a combination of your friends, perhaps a BSU and the church that God used in your life. But whatever God uses, they begin to grow and they begin to get some vision as to what God wants to do in their life. And then they're very excited about the upcoming summer. And there are a number of reasons for that. For one, they're delighted to be out of school, a break in studying, a break from going to class. And then many times during the year, they had thought, you know, I wish I had more time to spend in fellowship with the Lord. I wish I had more time to read Christian books that I'd like to read. I wish I had more time to pray. And this year, many of you have had those thoughts. I wish I had more time just to concentrate on my relationship to the Lord. Many a night you've probably wanted to pick up your Bible and read and wish you didn't have an exam the next day, but you could spend the time with the Lord that you wanted to. And then, for many of those people, summer came, just as it'll come for you. Even with a summer job, most of them found they had more time in the evenings and weekends to do what they wanted to do. But for many, what they had longed for when they were back in school did not happen. They did not get more time with the Lord. If you don't believe that, look back to perhaps for you the Christmas holidays. You had almost a month off. Did you spend more time with the Lord then than you did when you had all those studies staring you in the face? And so in the summer, they didn't use their weekends any more wisely or their evenings. And then they came back to school with a tan, but with a very anemic, shriveled up soul. And some of them we never saw again. Now, others return to school having grown immensely during the summer. They come back to school and they're eager to continue their growth. They're eager to help other students come to know Christ. They're eager to find someone they can help to grow. Now, what happened during the summer that caused such different responses during the fall? Well, many wandered off into sin, or at least away from a dynamic walk with Christ. I want to share a couple of scary verses with you that are, I believe, God's Word to us tonight. One of them is 1 Corinthians 10:12. It says, "Therefore, to him who thinks he stands needs to take heed lest he fall." And some of you may be approaching the summer and you don't really have any fears. You think you're in good shape. And I think the Bible has a word of caution for you. You need to take heed lest you fall. Do you remember David? What God had to say about him in Acts 13:22, after he had removed Saul, he said, "I raised up David to be their king, to whom he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who shall fulfill all my will." And you remember what God thought of David? Here was a man after his own heart, but you remember what happened to David? And as you sit here tonight, could God, as he looked down on you, say, "Here is a man or a woman after my own heart, and here was a man after God's own heart, and yet the day came in which he tragically sinned and reaped the consequences for the rest of his life, and God said the sword would never leave the house of David, because of his sin. And so, there ought to be some warnings for us. There are terrible consequences of sin. Now, why do so many students kind of fumble or fritter their summer away? Just when it looks like they've been making progress in their Christian life, and perhaps more progress than they've ever made before. Well, many of you will perceive the summer to be much longer than it's actually going to be. Have you ever noticed that about summers? You feel like you owe yourself some time just to kind of kick back, relax, and have fun. And certainly, you ought to do some of that. But most students never really plan to live in a disciplined way in the summer. They don't plan a time to begin to do what they should be doing. They have no tangible goals in mind, and therefore they just drift through the months. And then all of a sudden, it's August, and it's time to head back to school. And freshmen, I want to say something to you especially. I think the summer after your freshman year can be one of the most crucial times in your whole life. I know AJ and I were talking about this, and a couple of times he's mentioned that to me. It's one of the things that he's noticed. The summer after your freshman year can be one of the most crucial times in your whole life. Some of you have started walking with God in a way this year that you've never walked with God before. And now you're facing a summer. And you're going to be away, most of you, from many of your props. There's not going to be Vespers to come to. There's not going to be somebody always at your sleeve trying to get you to go to Sunday school, get you in Bible study, get you to come to Vespers, get you to come to FMT, get you to go FMT, get you to go to the Glen. And you're going to go home and find somebody, they don't care a whole lot what you do. And so you're going to be removed from your props. And I think that's tremendous. The day needs to come in which you're going to have to decide where you're going to walk with God or not. And I want to just say right up front tonight, there's one thing I cannot give you, neither can this staff give you. We cannot give you a heart for God. And some of you are some of the most privileged people that have ever walked the face of this earth. You have people speaking to you week by week. You have tremendous churches in town. You have heard some of the best speakers right here that God has ever sent to speak to His people. And they come in from all over. You have tremendous opportunities. You've had training. You've had help. But let me tell you, you're going to decide if you're going to walk with God or not. And there's not any one of us, regardless of what we can do, can assure that you'll be walking with God 20 years from now. You have got a decision to make as to what you're going to do. You know, I remember when I went home after my freshman year in college. And I, like many of you, when I got away to college, God started doing some amazing things in my life. Now, God had saved me many years before, and I'll always be grateful to the church. And I want to say this to some of you that maybe you got turned on to the Lord after you came to college. Don't you ever despise what you learned back in church when you were a little child. I'll always be grateful because I had no telling where I'd be. The church kept me out of trouble. It kept me on the way. And granted, I didn't respond as well as I should have at times, just like you probably haven't. But God did teach me some things. I was never in a church that had a youth program other than just Sunday school. I was always in fairly small churches. But when I got away to college, God took that foundation that had already been laid in my life, and He began to build on it. And I remember that first summer going home. And I knew that when I went back to my hometown, I didn't know anyone that would really be that interested in it to the point where I was in my life that I felt could really be a help to me. But I decided that summer I had to work, and I had to work hard. I had to work some long hours out in the sun, out on a farm. But I decided at night I would spend time getting to know God. And in that little house where we lived, Mom and Dad could have the television on in the living rooms, and you could hear it coming right through the walls. And I decided each night, and I worked 10 hours a day, and when I got home from working, it's out in the field, I decided I'd eat dinner, I'd take a bath, and then I would get some time with the Lord. And so night after night, I went into the little room, and I could hear whatever was going on in the other room. But I would spend some time there reading the Bible, sometime with my two fingers in my ears. I would write down some verses. And out in West Texas, it gets pretty cool after the sun goes down, out on the high plains, and I'd oftentimes take a blanket and I'd walk up and down the road and pray. And I decided in the summer that was time that I was going to give to growing and trying to become what God wanted me to be. Later, when I was a junior in college, I went home that summer and told God, I will spend 6 nights a week with you. That left 1 night a week for church. And that's what I did. Unless something unusual happened that summer, I spent 6 nights a week praying, reading the Bible, going over my verses, reading Christian biographies. And I determined before God, I'd just been traveling that spring, speaking on college campuses, and I saw so many people as we'd lead witnessing clinics. And they weren't leading people to the Lord. Nothing was happening. And I went home praying that summer, God, I want to know what is basically wrong with the church and what is wrong with Christianity in America. And I told the Lord I'd spend 6 nights a week, or I started actually doing it, 6 nights a week, praying, reading the Bible, and I never will forget one night as I was reading through the book of Acts, God began to speak to me about why people don't witness. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I began to read in the book of Acts, and these people would go out and witness, and they'd catch them and bring them in and say, don't you ever speak again in the name of Jesus. And turn them loose, and what would happen? Everywhere they'd go speaking, witnessing. They'd bring them in again and say, did not we straitly command you that you should not speak in His name, and behold, you fill Jerusalem with His doctrine. And just in case you didn't get the message, then they'd beat them and let them go. And what did they do? They left the presence of the council rejoicing they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now, wait a minute. That's why they just had been beaten. Because they'd been preaching. Turn them loose. Don't ever speak again in the name of Jesus. And they went everywhere speaking the word. Acts 4:20. For we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. And I'll never forget that night as God began to speak to me. You know why people don't witness? It's basically because it's not in their heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. And if you don't walk with the Lord in a vital way, I don't care how many witnessing clinics you've been through, or how much you know about witness, if you don't walk with God today, you won't witness today. And I remember going home that first summer. I'd never heard a follow-up. I'd never heard anyone talking about, you need to take this young Christian and help him. But I went back home, and God had been doing something in my life, and I began to pray, God, is there somebody in Littlefield, Texas that I can help? And I remember going to the church where I go, and there was a choir. And in that entire choir, there was one high school boy who was in that choir. And I thought, you know, every time I go to church, he's here. Now, in the little high school I came from, he was a drum major. And, you know, the football boys and drum majors and, you know, I mean, the girls were in the band and the boys played football. And I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying that's the way it was out in West Texas. And so I knew who he was, but never had anything to do with him particularly. And I saw him up there that night in the choir. And I thought, you know, I noticed one thing. He's at least here and he's interested, probably. And so that night, I went up to him and I said, could we go out and have something to drink and let's just visit? And I began to share with him what God was doing in my life. I found out nobody had ever particularly, personally helped him that much in his Christian life. And so I started sharing with him about how to, I didn't call it a quiet time, about reading your Bible and praying. And I shared with him how I did that each morning. And so he started doing that. And I began to tell him about how as I was out measuring cotton acreage, I'd prayed that God would use me, and every day I tried to witness. And so he started doing that. And then he'd come out to the house at night, and we'd walk up and down the road, and we'd pray together. And I taught him how to memorize verses. As the first fellow I ever tried to walk to help, he's a Baptist student director at Hardin-Simmons University today. I was a freshman. But I wanted to walk with God, and I wanted to help other people to walk with God. Now, I just want to say to you again, with all the help and everything that's available to you, nobody can give you a heart for God. And when you have time You're going to find out where your heart is. You know, I know a man, and I guarantee you, every day he doesn't have to work. You know what he'll do? He'll pick up his golf clubs. You know why? Golf is in his heart. It's not wrong to play golf. Andrew Murray, the great Christian missionary and pastor from South Africa, once said, "In leisure hours, I turn freely and naturally to what I most love. Nothing reveals what's on your heart like your spare time." And that is why the summer is so revealing. What do you really want? Do you want to become a man or woman of God? Most of you are going to have a tremendous opportunity this summer to get on the road to doing that. And you're going to go through some lonely times. And I can remember cotton acreage, measuring this land, and sometimes I'd have to walk a mile down here or so, or half mile down to measure this land. And so I would get my little gear out of the car and I'd start walking. I was thinking, Lord, I'm going to pray all the way to the end of that row. And I'd get about 20 yards and I'd be dreaming about a football game or something had happened. And I'd get down near the end of the row and I'd think, oh no, God, boy, I really got a heart for you, don't I? And so I hated that. I hated myself for being that way. But I'd confess it to the Lord and then I'd pray a little more. Maybe next time I'd make it 30 yards. But those were times of growth. Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Do you have a heart that hungers for God? If not, will you ask God to give you one? Now I want to talk about some specifics about the summer. The Word of God says in Proverbs 22:3, "The prudent sees the evil and hides himself. But the naive go on and are punished for it." So be prudent, be wise, don't be naive. And let me tell you some of the dangers that are ahead. I want to briefly refer to three of them. One of them is your old habit patterns. And the problem with our old habit patterns is they became established before we walked with the Lord. Have you ever noticed that? You were born into this world a sinner. You learned to confirm that at a very early age and continued to. And so you establish old habit patterns. And now that you've become a Christian and you're trying to walk with the Lord, especially those old habit patterns become very strong when you go back into situations where you have been before, in old locations in which those habit patterns work themselves out. You establish habit patterns before you were serious about your walk with the Lord. And so you need to be very, very careful when you go back. It's so easy for you to fall into the same old habits, the old slothfulness, the old thing of letting mom make up your bed. Let mom do your laundry. The old thing of letting mom do all of the serving. And you're the little conquering hero that's come home from college where it's so tough. And so mom is glad to take care of you and coddle you like you were a little bitty child, just like you once were. Now, you know another problem you'll have when you go home? We've said this to some of you before. Sometimes your parents will treat you like children. Sometimes you will act like children. It's hard for them to know the difference. You've been used to coming in when you got ready. And now all of a sudden it's 5 minutes till dinner time and you say to mom, "Oh, mom, I forgot to tell you. So-and-so and I were going out together tonight." And so you'll find that you're going to have to really work at being back home again. Another very dangerous thing for you in the summer, especially, is your former dating patterns. Most of you dated before you walked with Christ. Therefore, many of the habits, many of the things that you thought made up a date, you started before you ever walked with the Lord. I've seen students that had a tremendous heart for God, it seemed. They were really growing as a freshman. They go home, they get back into an old dating relationship. And it's unbelievable what that can do often to your heart for the Lord. I haven't said that you're never to date. I've not said that at all. I'm just saying that there's tremendous dangers in that area. Now watch it. Because this person that maybe at one time you dated are some of the friends that you once knew, and now you've come to college and God's been doing a great work in your life, and you go out with them and you don't find the same is necessarily true in their life, and you may not be as strong as you thought you were. So watch out for that one. Another one can be family patterns. You used to fuss with your little brother and sister, and now you say God's done a work in your life, but you find yourself responding to them just like you used to respond to them. As was true in my home, when my dad came in, as soon as he finished eating dinner that night, while my mother did the dishes, he turned on the TV. He turned off the TV on the way to bed that night. Now, you may be in a home in which you're going to find that the TV is on a great deal of the time. You don't want to go home and preach to them about it. And there occasionally, maybe you need to go in and sit down with a family and watch some television. And you can select when that's being done, because it may be being done at a great deal of the time. But you may have to go get in your car. You may have to find a nearby restaurant. Or you may need to go find someplace else where you can spend time with the Lord. Or you may need to go in your bedroom and put some cotton in your ears and get some time with the Lord. Now let me make some quick suggestions to you. What can you do to help eliminate some problems and help your summer to be very gratifying? Number one is make your number one objective to walk with God, to get to know Him and to serve Him with all your heart. Make that your number one priority for the summer. This summer, I am going to concentrate on my walk with God. Now, you may work very hard. You may have to work. And I hope you do. I hope you will work. But I'm talking about that available time, the available time that you have, that you would make your number one priority. I'm going to get to know the Lord and walk with Him this summer. Now, let me tell you, if you think you're going to night after night spend some time with the Lord because you feel like it, forget it. Because you won't. And there's many a times, and I know I've had to go and sit down and open the Bible and start reading it when there are a lot of things I had rather do. Lauren Sanney says the first 15 minutes of Bible study is like a starter on a car. It takes a starter to get the motor going. And he says sometimes the first 15 minutes or so is pure drudgery. But you need to learn to spend an entire evening with the Lord where you can go read your Bible and you can pray and you can go over your verses. You can read a Christian book. You can vary what you do, but you're going to go through some lonely times if you learn to do that. And there are going to be times in which you'd rather do anything than just go get some time with the Lord. But unless you go through that, you will never become a man or woman of God. Set some objectives early. Do this before you go home for summer. You know, our ministry team went up to the home of Jerry and Marilyn Fine not long ago, and Jerry said, you need to know before you graduate exactly what you're going to do, because once you graduate, you won't have time to think about it. And you better decide, if those of you are graduating, what you're going to do about your quiet time the very first day you go to work. If you don't, you'll probably be struggling with it 30 years from now. But if you just decided the first day you go to work, I'm going to be up the next morning and have a good, solid 30-minute quiet time before I go to work, you could do that. But if you wait until the night before with all what you've got, forget it. It won't happen. It's just like Sunday school. I try to tell most of you, all of you, you ought to make a decision once and for all about church on Sunday, that you'll be in Sunday school. Well, so you did get in at 3 the night before. So what? Sunday school is at 9:15. And I just made that decision years ago, and it keeps me from having to make it again. If you don't decide what you're going to do before you get home, you know what it's going to be like when you do get home. So set some objectives early. Know what you're going to do. If you can, share those with a friend or someone that can pray for you, perhaps help hold you accountable. And if at all possible, number three, attend a summer training program. Why? Because it can help you to get started right. You've just finished finals. before you go home, you'd have some time where you could get some help in your Christian life. You'll have some time to concentrate on your walk with the Lord. You'll have some time at the training programs to think through what you're planning to do when you get home. And it can help you to just have that break before you launch out into a busy summer. A fourth thing you can do is pray for a Christian buddy for fellowship. As I shared with you, when I went home, I went home as a freshman looking and praying for somebody I could have fellowship with. You know, some of you live in a place where maybe there's not anyone that you know of actually of like heart right where you live. But there's somebody within an hour's drive. I remember the last time Jack Owens was home. He's one of our former students, missionary in Korea. We were having a very difficult time getting together, but he was passing through, and I found out one day I could meet him in Ardmore. And so I called him and said, let's just meet at Ardmore. And it happened to be he was coming up from Dallas, and we could just meet in Ardmore, and that way we could get 2 hours together. So I drove to Ardmore to spend 2 hours with one guy. Now, you can do that. There are people that you know. You live in Bartlesville or Tulsa. There's somebody else in the BSU. You want to have an evening of fellowship? You can call, hey, there's a McDonald's. Let's meet there and get some time together. Find someone that you can fellowship with. Number five, seek to know and fellowship with Christ this summer. We've already said something about walking with God, but I want to say specifically, and I wanted to state it this way, seek to know and fellowship with Christ, and I'm talking here about getting your quiet time established. The honest truth is, if we could go around this room tonight and say, if you consider your quiet times established, that is, it's rare when you don't have one, I want you to stand up. That's what established means. It means that when you don't have one, it's an exception. Now, for many of us, and you've been dinking with it for 3 years, I mean, really, and it's the exception for you to have a good quiet time. I mean, it's really established, isn't it? Well, just wait till you start working 10 hours a day. And then wait till you get married and wait till you have some kids. I mean, I'm not trying to be critical, but you're going to be like a whole lot of other Baptists I know. Why don't you just decide to get your quiet time established? That you're going to pay a price to meet with God? Now, I'm not talking about putting you under law. And let me tell you, there's a danger some of you face. Christ is your life. That's right. But you have got to discipline yourself if He's going to live out His life through you. You understand that? I'm not talking about coming into bondage. I'm talking about becoming a solid, disciplined follower of God. And you read the great biographies of the men and women of God who've accomplished something in this life, and you'll find that they were men who trusted God, but they were men who worked hard at doing what they set out to do. Next thing, work on your scripture memory and your review. You want the Word of God to flow from you. You want to be able to get the Holy Spirit to use it in your life and other people's lives. Let me encourage you to... The summer is such a great time. Some of you have got verses, they're rusty. Why don't you get a system where you just don't go to bed at night until you review a certain number? Now, if something ever happens, it doesn't mean God doesn't love you, but it just means that if you're going to be disciplined, you have to work at it. And the summer can be a great time. Some of you have such keen minds. You make tremendous grades. You could memorize 5 verses a summer, a week. You could memorize 7 verses a week if you wanted to. You could memorize a verse a day. That wouldn't be a great challenge for some of you. Or you could pick up 3 or 4 or whatever. But the summer is a great time to go back and get your verses in order. And incidentally, think, people. Don't get home and then to find out you don't have any verse cards. Don't get home this summer and find out you don't have any of this size paper that'll fit your notebook. I mean, it's down in the bookstore. Do it now. Okay? So, work on your scripture memory. Work on your review. Try to get the Word of God fresh in your life. Number 7, go back over what God said to you this year. Go back over your notes. And it's sad, sad, sad thing to me to know that most, perhaps many of you have very few notes. You came, you sat, you heard Mike's story speak at the Glen. You didn't take any notes. You come to Vespers. People come speak. You don't take notes. Psychologists say within 24 hours you will forget 90% of what you've heard 24 hours before. What notes you have, read them over. Pray over them. Think through them. If you don't have notes, sit down and think. When Mike Story spoke at Glen Eyrie on convictions, what did God say to you? What impressions did you have? Go back over your notes from church and Sunday school, notes you've taken for the last year. Maybe your quiet time notes. What has God been saying to you? And try to get that firmed up in your heart. Number 9, minister to someone. Pray God will give you someone to help. You might say, well, I'm not very far along. Well, you don't have to be very far along. There's probably someone that you know, maybe a college buddy, maybe they went to another school. Go back to your church and see what you can do to help with the young people there this summer. There's someone where you will be this summer that you can help. You know, I've shared with you before, many of you, what John Crawford said about the guy who was only in town for 2 weeks. He said, who are you helping? He said, well, I'm only here 2 weeks. I don't care. He was only here raising his support. He wasn't going to be here very long. John said, I don't care if you're somewhere 2 weeks. You ought to find somebody you can help. There's someone back where you'll be this summer that you could really help. If you prayed, ask God to give you someone, try to minister. It may be through a Sunday school class, but find someone that you can help. Number 10, work hard. Don't go home and lay around all summer. You say, well, I can't find a job. Well, have you worked 8 hours a day looking? That's your assignment. Start the first Monday you're home and look 8 hours a day until you find one. If there's not one to be had, go work somewhere. Go to the church and volunteer. I mean, wouldn't it? It's not good for you to lay around that much time. You will develop some very, very bad habits. You know what you'll do? You'll find even if you don't work all summer, you'll still struggle to have a solid 30-minute quiet time. Have you ever noticed that jobs expand to meet the time allotted? You allot 24 hours a day for your quiet time, it'll take you 24 hours a day to have 30-minute quiet time. You ought to work. Work hard at whatever you do. Number 11, get in shape physically. Some of you hadn't gotten out of a walk in weeks. It would help you, really. Go home this summer. I mean, get on a jogging schedule. Do something physical. I know that there's times at school that you're not able to do that, and I understand that. You can't do everything every day. But one of the things that'll do you good this summer is get some physical exercise. Try to get in shape. Then pray for your BSU friends. Pray for the group from Kazakhstan. There's all kinds of ways you can pronounce it. You can't mispronounce that name I just found out. And so we're going to have a picture of the group for you later before school's out. You'll have a picture of everyone that'll be on the ministry teams that you can pray for. And so pray for next year. Be praying for your ministry. Pray for your friends. Then number 13, plan and pray for your ministry for next year. Another thing you could do that would be helpful, find out if there's anybody in your town coming to OU and try to meet them this summer. You could call the church. Maybe there are several churches, and just ask them. Some of you could find out. You can ask around. You might find someone that you could talk to this summer. You could share with them about what you're doing. You could share with them about BSU, the church, and Bible study. And maybe have them enlisted before they ever got here. Number 14, develop faithfulness. Even in the dry times, you will go through some dry times, but pay the price necessary to grow this summer. Discipline yourself. Quit looking for shortcuts to spirituality. There are none. N-O-N-E, zero. None. There are none. So quit looking for them. Quit looking for spiritual shortcuts. There's no shortcut to reading the Bible and praying and having a quiet time and memorizing verses and learning to trust God. There are just no shortcuts. And a lot of people think, well, someday I'll find out how to do it better and then I'll start. No, start where you are. Get some time with... Walk with the Lord. Seek to develop faithfulness. Now, under 14, if you want to, you can write this in because it's not there. Get some time with godly people. Try to get around some godly people. I remember one night riding back from California on a bus with Bill Johnson. About 2 o'clock in the morning, we were coming back from a mission trip. And he had begun to think about being a missionary. And that's the first time that thought had ever entered his mind. And God began to speak to him as he thought about the world. And he went home that summer. And he thought, you know, I really wish I could really meet a missionary and talk with him. And so he started praying, God, I want you to let me meet a missionary I can talk with. The first Sunday's home, a foreign missionary on furlough joined his church. He said, huh, that's nice, wasn't it? Well, yeah, it was. But he wanted that. You know, that's one of the things you need to develop while you're here in school. Like sometime you might say, you know, I wish I could get some... I'd like to get some time someday with Dave Edwards. And if you say that to me, I can look at you and I say, no, you probably don't. You know, one time a man came to John Crawford when he worked at Glen Eyrie. He said, you know, Lawrence Sanney is a super guy. He said, I sure would like to get some time with him. John said, no, you wouldn't. Guy was kind of shocked. He said, you think you'd like to get some time with Lauren? Yeah, but I've called his office and I know he's got a lot of appointments. He's busy. He said, you know what Lauren Sandy's doing right now? Right this morning, Saturday morning. You know what he's doing? He's cleaning out his garage. Because I heard him say that's what he's going to go clean out his garage. He said, you could be over helping him clean out his garage if you want to get some time with him. You want to get some time with him? You can get some time with him. I promise you. You can get time with anybody around here or anybody you want to if you want to. But if it just happens to be you got to come into the office and sit down and let them do it to you, you know, tell you, learn you, whatever, it's not going to happen. Jack Combs, some of you know, is an insurance salesman here. Years ago, he went to the Glen for a summer. I think he stayed on for about a year or so working there. And he thought, you know, here's Lila Trotman. I sure wish I could get some time with Lila Trotman. So one day he's working down at the gatehouse. Lila Trotman comes through, or he wasn't working at the gatehouse. He was down at the gatehouse, but he wasn't working that Saturday morning. And he saw Lila. So he just waved her down and said, Lila, where are you going? She said, I'm going into town. I've got to get my tire fixed. He said, would you mind if I went with you? She said, oh, I'd love for you to go with me. So he had a tremendous time with Lila, and he asked her questions that day about Dawson. He says, a tremendous time. You know why? Because he is willing to go with her to have a tire fixed. One day, George Sanchez. Word was out at Glen Eyrie that George Sanchez was going to South America. And Jack thought, man, I'd love to get some time with George. So he goes to George and he said, George, you're going to South America, is that right? He said, yeah. How long are you going to be gone? He said, I'm going to be gone 3 weeks. He said, George, you think I might could go with you? He said, well, I don't know, Jack. Said, we could pray about that. And he said, George, how much is it going to cost? And he said, oh, well, it cost you about $2,500 or whatever it was. You don't have that, do you? No, I don't. But he said, I can pray. You know what? Guess who went to South America for 3 weeks with George Sanchez? Jack Combs. Why? Because he wanted to. You know the danger you face? People are paraded in front of you. Bible study, church, vespers, all of this stuff. And it's just kind of the deal, if you can get it in the official meetings, fine. But you're going to find when you get out in life that you can get some time with some tremendous people if you'll just ask and go after it. Now, number 15. Have some fun. You think, well, you've been talking doesn't sound like it's very much fun. Have some fun. Relax. Learn to live a balanced life. I mean, you ought to have some fun. I had fun yesterday. my anniversary. Well, it's not till tomorrow, but I got to be going to one of those Baptist retreats tomorrow. So we celebrated yesterday. We spent the day. We had fun. So have some fun. Relax. Go some places. Do some fun things. Live a balanced life. Then come back to school refreshed in body, soul, and spirit, praying God will bring great honor and glory to His name on this campus this year. The summer ought to be a refreshing time for you. You're away from the books, and I'm not suggesting that you have to spend all night, six nights a week, reading the Bible and praying. God only led me to do that for a period of time, for one summer. But you ought to be spending some time with Him. But there's going to be plenty of time. Let me tell you, there's time this summer to do exactly what God wants you to do. And so, you spend some time with Him, you have some fun, you come back refreshed in body, soul, and spirit, ready to go at it next year. And be praying for your friends. Be praying for this ministry. Some of you, as you know, we've already finished interviews, just about interviewed 37 people that are planned to come on to the ministry team next fall. With those of you that will still be remaining, before you go home, we plan to know where every one of you will be serving next year. Some of you in the dorm, you know you're going to be leading a Bible study on the fifth floor. You may want to go down that hall and just draw a little map of that floor. And this summer, just get that map out and put your finger on that room and say, God, I want to pray for the guys that live in this room. And I don't know who they are, but I pray you'll put the ones in that room that you want there and that you will use me in their lives. And you begin to pray for people. So pray for the ministry. Then trust in the Lord, praying that He will greatly honor His name through you this summer and in the ministry. Now listen, only He can empower you and only He can live His life through you. If you went away tonight thinking, well, it all depends on my willpower. It's all on what I do. This is a religion of just do what we've talked about tonight. You've missed what I've been trying to say. I'm talking about you yielding your life to the Lord. We said it first. Your number one priority being your own personal walk, yielding your life to Him, going out this summer to use your summer such that when you come back next fall, you're ready to go. And I'd say this to those of you that are on freshman ministry team, one of the sad, sad things. I know when we first started the freshman ministry team, we'd look at that and think, now, aha, here are all these people on the freshman ministry team. This is how many we'll have on DT, the discipleship team, the next year. And you know, it's a sad, sad thing, but that's not the way it works. Some of you have been on freshman ministry team this year. I would encourage you, when you get back, encourage you, right, Shelley? I would encourage you, when you get back next fall, for you already to plan to be on the discipleship team. I hope we don't have to come and tell you about it and try to recruit you. Just plan. That's my plan. And so, there are decisions that you will make this summer that I promise you will mark the rest of your life. Don't waste this summer. Know what you're planning to do before you get home. I've said to you, also read some biographies. Hudson Taylor, George Mueller, Amy Carmichael. Before you go home, try to select some books that you can read. If you don't have the money to buy them, those of us on that staff have shelves and shelves of books that you'd be welcome to borrow and take home and read. But don't wait till you get home and think, oh, I wish I'd have gotten a good biography. You know, this semester, the ones on the ministry team, on the team that I lead on Monday night, we have read The Life of George Mueller, Delighted in God, and we will finish before this semester's over. A Man in Christ, The Life of Hudson Taylor. Now, this year, I know those students have been exposed to two of the greatest men of God, greatest men of faith, that have ever walked the face of this earth. And I think all of their lives, God will bring them back from time to time to remember what they've read this semester. Use your summer wisely. Psalms 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Nothing indicates your heart like what you do with your spare time. And that is why summer is so revealing. Now let's pray together. Father, thank you that we live in a country in which there's a break from the deadness sometimes of just study and classes. We are so thankful that we have our summer breaks. And I know some will go to school, but still they'll have more time probably outside class than they normally do. Father, some will have to work and go to school. It's not that all of a sudden, for most of us, it'll just be a free, relaxed summer. But Lord, we know that in some ways there'll be a change of pace, and that can be refreshing. So help us this summer to use the time like you want us to. Father, don't allow us just to wander off. Go home.